Lindsay was originally scheduled to be ordained 2 weeks ago, but on June 13th, that night, her firstborn graduated from high school, and a gracious bishop helped resolve the predicament by suggesting, "Let's have a second ordination service this month." And so here we are on June 29th, the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul, and we are delighted for it. You know, in the Church of England, there is a centuries-old tradition of ordinations to the priesthood occurring in Petertide, that is, the days surrounding June 29th. And since our ordinand this evening hails from England, it seems a fitting solution to be about this particular work tonight, in Petertide, in this cathedral, where Lindsay has been called to serve as curate. We are grateful for the synchronicity of it all, including the safe return of Bishop Rickle from the Holy Land in the last 24 hours, just in time to lead us in this prayerful exercise of sacramental joy. Welcome home, Bishop. The scriptures we've just heard read are not those appointed for ordinations. They are the propers for the feast day, the feast of Peter and Paul. But they seem to have ripened for our purposes tonight, as if they were waiting for us to converge precisely here in this moment, not just to commemorate Peter and Paul, not just to lay hands on Lindsay, but to allow the liturgical confluence of it all to bless us in beautiful ways. Ezekiel's pastoral vision of hope and the psalmist's ode to Jerusalem as source of blessing for all people, and the gospel's resurrected Christ helping Peter unfold into his vocation, those readings are so rich, and any one of them could serve sufficient wisdom for us to glean tonight and for days to come. But I want to focus instead this evening on the pastoral letter to Timothy. Let's ponder there for a moment as we consider what we are doing, what we are asking of Lindsay, and what we expect in the months and years to follow in her ministry as a priest. The truth is, we hear precious little in the Sunday lectionary from the first and second letters to Timothy. One brief excerpt from the first letter, three snippets from the second. That's all we get in a three-year cycle. But there's a good deal more in these two brief letters, with a trajectory of encouragement that is at times fierce and at times especially tender and intimate. Now, whether Paul actually wrote these letters to his apprentice Timothy is disputed, but the girding charge is to be faithful in our calling and remain grounded in prayer. And those are fitting words for an ordinand to hear. I think they're fitting words for us all. Well, and if you're interested, there's more. In these two letters, there's a commentary on what makes a good bishop. That doesn't make into the Sunday lectionary, so you got to go look that up if you're interested. There's also commentary on what makes a good deacon. The first attribute listed for deacons is that they are to be serious, which sent me down a rabbit hole to see what the Greek word translated serious really meant. I had this vision of frowning deacons and wrinkled brows, but I knew there must be something more, and thankfully there is. The word really means dignified. Deacons, be dignified, which again seems a fitting exhortation for us all. There's a good deal of direction offered to presbyters, including this passage we just heard read. Priest, guided by Christ in your life, proclaim the good news with persistence in good times and bad, and serve the people with utmost patience. Carry out your ministry fully, guided by the mercy and grace of God in your life, and look for that mercy and grace in the lives of those you serve. The truth is, friends, no priest can do the work to which they are called with any measure of grace without the people participating in that ministry with them. Or to say it more emphatically, a priest cannot function except in the context of the body of which they are a part. And that body need not be a parish congregation. The body can form in any sacred space, the sacred space of a hospital room, or in a chaplain's mission field, or in a circuit rider's tent of meeting, or in a food line meeting eyes with a weary stranger. The dignity with which one serves is measured ultimately not by oneself, but by those who experience it as a gift shared. One of the great revelations of the Reformation was that the sacramental work of priests makes no sense in solitary action. It is communal, which is to say, show up. Show up. Be the body with Lindsay. She has many gifts to share. You do too. The preacher at my ordination 18 years ago this week in Petertide told the people present that day that what really happens when the priests huddle around the ordinand to lay hands on them alongside the bishop, you won't get to see Lindsay when that's there in just a moment because we huddle around and we're surrounded her. But what really happens, this preacher at my ordination says, is that one priest there is designated to slip the ordinand a crystal ball. And with that crystal ball, they can then use it to know all the pastoral needs of the people in the congregation. But that preacher at my ordination said he was the one that was charged with delivering me my crystal ball, but he dropped it on the way to church that day and it shattered into 1,000 pieces. And so he said, my parish and I were just going to have to do this work the old-fashioned way by communicating clearly with one another, speaking the truth in love. He admonished the folks there to let Steve know what you need from him and when, and Steve, let them know what you need from them and when. Don't assume each other knows. It was good counsel that day from a man who would later become my bishop and yours. Lindsay, I was charged with securing your crystal ball for this evening, but supply chain issues have made that impossible. The site where I was supposed to get it from offered no date when it would be available again. So friends, you will just need to be in ministry with Lindsay the old-fashioned way. But trust me, it works when we do it together. So Lindsay, let me say to you that we are really glad you are here, that you've come to this moment, that you've come to this calling. The church affirms you in this call. Remember that when you second-guess things, as we all do from time to time. I know you came to the Christian way in life later than most, and perhaps that gives you a particular perspective that will serve you well as you embark on this next part of the journey. You bring a fresh enthusiasm and keen insight, along with many gifts to be shared in our midst. Use them to God's glory and for the benefit of the people. Do not let aspirations for perfection as a priest ensnare you. See, I couldn't even get that line right. I didn't do it on purpose, but let me say it again. Do not let aspirations for perfection as a priest ensnare you. Neither Peter nor Paul were anywhere close to perfect, not by a long shot. You won't be either. It's okay. It's actually good. Make mistakes and let people see them and see you as you learn from them. Love them and let them love you back. Nowhere in the ordinal is there a vow to be successful, whatever that means. Success is not the true measure of good ministry. Faithfulness is. Let the words of these letters to Timothy wash over you. The girding charge for you, for me, for us all, and I think for all of us in our own way, is to be faithful to your calling and remain grounded in prayer. I tried to do this priest thing for a time without prayer. It doesn't work. I've seen other priests try it too. It inevitably spells disaster. So remain grounded in prayer. Seek help if your well runs dry. Be guided by Christ in your life. Proclaim the good news with persistence in good times and the bad. Serve the people with utmost patience. Carry out your ministry fully guided by the mercy and grace of God in your life, and seek that mercy and grace in the lives of those whom you serve. And then this charge for us all. Remember your baptism. Lindsay, remember your baptism. The royal priesthood of Christ is shared by all Christians as the ministry of the baptized, of which you are a part. It is the base community from which everything else flows. So let the waters of baptism remind you that the body gathered is the locus of your ministry, wherever that may form. And lastly, be dignified, which is not to say be so serious. Let good humor season your ministry. No, the encouragement to be dignified is really about worthiness. That's what the Greek word really means. Be worthy of your calling. But as soon as I say that, I also have to say, remember your worth is a charism arising not from your own doing, but from your belovedness. It is a gift from God for all the people of God. It is your dignity as a child of God. So be dignified, friends, which is to say, at your core, remember that you are beloved of God. We all are. And for that, friends, may God's holy name be praised. Amen.